We all wanna make a place in this world.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to the Do You Want to Be Made Whole podcast by LaShanda Loffrich, yours truly. Today's topic is going to talk about autism spectrum disorder, as it is Autism Awareness Month for the month of April, and I'm going to share a personal journey. Before I get started, I'm going to talk about what an autism spectrum disorder is. The CDC says that it's a developmental disability caused by differences in the brain. People with autism spectrum disorder may behave, communicate, interact, and learn in ways that are different from most other people. There's often nothing about how they look that sets them apart from other people. The abilities of people with an autism spectrum disorder can vary significantly. For example, some people with an autism spectrum disorder may have advanced conversational skills, whereas others may be nonverbal. Some people with autism spectrum disorder need a lot of help in their daily lives. Others can work and live with little to no support. Autism spectrum disorder begins before the age of 3 years and can last throughout a person's life, although symptoms may improve over time. Some children show autism spectrum disorder symptoms within the first 12 months of life. In others, symptoms may not show up until 24 months of age or later. Some children with autism spectrum disorder gain new skills and meet developmental milestones until around 18 to 24 months of age, and then they stop gaining new skills or lose skills they once had. People with autism spectrum disorder often have problems with social communication and interaction and restricted or repetitive behaviors or interests. People with an autism spectrum disorder may also have different ways of learning, moving, or paying attention. These characteristics can make life very challenging. Tune in and listen to my story about my baby boy, Jackson. My name is LaShanda Loffrich. I am a very proud mother of four beautiful children. My oldest son, Julius, is 20. My oldest daughter, Jada, is 19. My youngest daughter, Jalise, is 17. And my youngest son, Jackson, is 9 years old. I have had no greater joy than being a mother. I had three kids for a very long time as they came, and had a 7-year gap in having another baby. In that 7 years, Jackson was on his way, and we very eagerly anticipated his arrival. We were so happy. I was so pregnant, and I knew that that would be the last time that I would do that again. And so Jackson was born June 15th, 2014. He came and just stole our hearts immediately. Everybody loved him so much, and he was just a joy to have as a baby. As he grew a little older, his very first birthday, he was sick. And upon taking him to the hospital, we went to urgent care. It was determined that he had croup. And then from there, about 2 months later, he had bronchiolitis. And then from there, within that same time frame, that fall, he had an episode of respiratory illness in which he had to be rushed to the emergency room. And upon arriving at the emergency room, it was said that his oxygen levels were low. And so they gave him steroids, put him on breathing treatment, and he was okay. It seemed to me after that, I started noticing that there was a shift in Jackson's behavior. And I don't know if it was attributed to the fact that he got sick that day, but that's when I can remember noticing things were a little different. So, for example, Jackson would have a very difficult time separating from me or his dad. He was pretty much used to just us and his siblings. When we would go around family, he wasn't very playful with little cousins. And so, you know, just tossed up to, oh, maybe he's just a little spoiled, you know. Time went on, started noticing that he had some emotional dysregulation and couldn't really get it under control within reason from time to time. Started noticing that when he played with toys, the toys were in a line most times. And he had a speech delay that I now recognize. When he was younger, he had language, but it came maybe around the age of 2, turning 3. And so as time went along, I am a diagnostician. And so my job is to work with families of children that have special needs to determine what their eligibility or disability is through an evaluation, have an IEP meeting, individual education plan meeting to work with the school to determine what is an appropriate plan for the child. So I was familiar with disabilities. Little did I know that my journey of becoming a diagnostician was divinely created so that I could help my baby boy. As time went along, Jackson just started, and you know, I kept noticing the same things and thought it wise to check into an evaluation. And so I did. And long story short, at the end of the day, he met criteria as a student with an autism spectrum disorder. Now, usually at the age of 3, turning 4, between maybe 4 or 5, school districts will go with an eligibility of what's called non-categorical. So you can be non-categorical early childhood for autism, an intellectual disability, or an emotional disturbance. And so Jackson did not receive the NCEC eligibility. His was full-out autism. So that was somewhat alarming to me. I knew that he was going to be labeled or diagnosed with something, but I didn't know what it was going to be called exactly. And so once we got the information of how he qualified, it was emotional, you know. Over time, I did grieve because I had so many fears, worries, of what am I going to do to help my child? Who can I trust him around? You know, what am I going to have to change my life? Keep him at home? What am I going to have to do? So many worries. And as time went along, we put him in ABA therapy. And he was 4 years old, so he was able to go to PPCD at the time. So he did ABA therapy in the mornings and had PPCD in the afternoons. Well, ABA therapy is what the number one intervention that is advertised or, you know, shown to be very effective for children that have autism. Early intervention programs are very much recommended once a diagnosis has been made. Well, we didn't know that ABA therapy costed as much as it did. Didn't know that ABA therapy required continual, consistent attendance. So even when the kids were out of school or there were holidays, winter break, it was the expectation for Jackson to still attend ABA therapy. We did not know that. And so time went along, he finished up his four-year-old year, and by the time it was time for him to go to kindergarten, he was recommended to be placed in the general education classroom. He got into the general education classroom in kindergarten, seemed to be a fit that was maybe not the best one for him after some attempts I made to speak with his teacher, and I couldn't really get a lot of communication. And so his class was changed, and he was placed with another teacher with support. So Jackson was always a student, and is a student that has been in general education. It was never recommended for him to be in a self-contained class or resource, spend any time outside of the general education setting other than speech therapy. And so Jackson's cognitive ability, his first cognitive test was 109 on the WISC, Wechsler Intelligence Scale for Children. That was when he was in first grade. And so it was deemed that he was pretty intelligent. We were in awe of seeing Jackson build train tracks. He would create all kinds of designs all over the house of his train tracks. He knew all of the Thomas the Train characters. Everything was Thomas the Train. That was his perseveration, so to speak. He loved cars. You know, he loved anything boy related, but he was really excited about trains. And so COVID also happened in the midst of Jackson starting school very early. So from his kindergarten year, second semester, to second grade, those were the COVID years. And so it was a challenge to have him at home and, you know, try to do online classes. He was very uninterested in participating with that. And so when it came time that the children could come back to school as an option, I opted, yes, he is returning to school. He had been home for about a year or so. And so it was time, and he needed, you know, to get back into his intervention, his routines and things like that. So he went back to school. By this time, second grade came around, and he had a great teacher. He had a great teacher for second grade, and all of his teachers have been great teachers. She worked with him and was very close, you know, close to him, and would always reach out to let us know what's going on with him, if he had trouble, you know, if he had struggles with peers. And so it was never a surprise for me to get a notification from his teachers that there was something that he struggled with at school. His sensory needs are heightened, especially smells and noise. Those are his most difficult areas. And so his IEP continued. He continued to have services and support, but he also had a behavior intervention plan that was put into place as well for noncompliance. There were some instances of physical and verbal aggression inconsistently, but he did have those. And so third grade came around, and he was in a class with other kids that had special needs, but also, you know, general education as well. So I would often hear from his teacher to tell me, and it seemed as if year after year, he would have more and more challenges behaviorally, which was to be expected because more demand was placed on him. He doesn't want to do work. He wants to stay at home all day and play and, you know, as a typical kid would do, but started having more and more challenges. And then there started to be things that were just kind of out of his norm, where he made a threat to a friend one time because the child told on him. He started getting into altercations with peers. And then on the other side, there will be days where he was just great, no issues. So he had very inconsistent behavior data collection. I started asking about him being placed into the autism program that the school district had to offer, and was told that his behavior wasn't severe enough, and the district was going to work with the teachers on, you know, training them to, you know, follow his behavior intervention plan and things like that. Offer him incentives, things that he's working for, structuring his schedule, and that kind of thing. So as his time grows along, academically, Jackson is fine. If his report card grade was below a B, it was because he didn't want to do the work, not because he couldn't do the work. And I was okay with that because there are days that as adults, we don't want to do what we have to do, and that's okay. And so time went along, and now fourth grade is here. So this is the school year where we are currently. And at the beginning of the school year, Jackson was placed with a first year teacher, which she had special education background. She was great, but it didn't seem to be a good fit for him. There was a lot of lack of communication. I didn't really know what was going on. So, you know, I reached out, spoke with administration about, you know, what I had been experiencing. And so I started hearing from the teacher more, and it just didn't seem like there was a good fit. So it started turning into a regular thing. Jackson wasn't excited to come to school this morning. Upon ending third grade, he also started saying he hated school. You know, he absolutely hated going to school for whatever the reason was. And so then more instances with social interactions with peers were negative. He's having difficulty in unstructured environments like PE, art, music, coming back from recess, physical aggression towards peers. He was in line one time. He got out of line and went to go kick a girl, you know, for no obvious reason. Things like that were happening with him. And so speaking with administration, we had a meeting to talk about a reevaluation plan and just the type of support that he was getting for the first semester. And so it was decided to switch his class. And so he moved to another class for the second semester. Seemed like everything was going very well. It was a positive change for him. And it maybe lasted a month or two. Since probably mid-February or so, if not every other day, every day I hear from his teachers that he struggled today. He had to work, you know, work through his cool down steps, his behavior intervention plan. He hit peers. He made threats to his teachers. He had physical altercations with students, and he was non-compliant, and he, you know, and it's just not easy to get that information about your child day after day. And so I started reaching out to ask about the autism program again, because at this point I'm recognizing that his environment does not fit his needs. He is in a public school setting, and while he is high functioning, Jackson is very high functioning. If you saw Jackson and met him for the first time and he was in a great mood, you would probably not even pick up on the fact that he has autism until you started talking to him for a little while and being around him to get to know him. But Jackson is typically very happy. You know, he's a jokester. He has this accent when he speaks. It's as if he's from London and we're not. And it's the funniest thing, but he's so sweet, so lovable. So to get this information from his teachers was kind of shocking, but not really shocking, because it seemed to me as if a lot of the notifications I was getting was that he was reacting to something. Something was happening before, you know, this happened. And so on this journey, it has not been easy. I spoke with his case manager, the diagnostician, the assistant principal. And I'm like, hey, this doesn't seem to be working for him. Can we consider looking into this autism program that the district has to offer? And so some behavior specialists came out and had observations. You know, I don't know how often they came out or how frequent, but around mid-March, I got a call one Friday from his assistant principal that told me that he had a behavioral episode in which he had to go to cool down. And that had never happened before that I was aware of. Jackson had never been restrained. Jackson had never, you know, it was just very shocking to hear. Needless to say, in his behavioral episode, Jackson became so upset that he was banging his head against the wall. He was screaming at the teachers. He and is describing to us when he gets home that this lady was grabbing my arm way too tight, you know, and he had like a little scratch on his arm. And this happened on a Friday. I got the call at like 4:30. So I'm all weekend having questions that I'm not able to get answered until Monday. So on Monday, I hear back from the school related to what really happened. And my question to them was that if these are areas that he's struggling in that are related to his environment, or if he's triggered, or if he's, you know, there's never a guarantee of what is his actual cause for having a behavioral challenge. And also, he only has these challenges at school because this is not our life at home. He's a very happy child, and we don't have these difficulties with him ever. Maybe more so when he was younger, but he seemed to, you know, grow out of that. And so maybe I would say as he grew up, he would have a full-on autistic fit maybe twice a year. And that was kicking, screaming, just big tantrum kind of thing. But that had subsided. So it was very shocking to me and disturbing to know that he had to be removed from where he was because his behavior had become so concerning and uncontrollable. And it was basically over him being questioned about an incident that had happened 2 days before. So it could have been prevented. It just wasn't even necessary to bring that up. And he is already over school anyway. He's annoyed by everything, everybody. You know, the smell of the cafeteria is bad. It's too loud. He doesn't want to do his work. And it is not easy as a parent to have to send your child to a place every day where you know that they are miserable. So I thought it wise to take him to his pediatrician. He gets his annual checkups. Another thing that I didn't say, when Jackson was first diagnosed with autism, I had him genetically tested and also found out that he had a microdeletion of a chromosome. So all 46 of his chromosomes didn't develop fully, but it's just, you know, a little micro deletion, which can happen. Different chromosomes, you know, don't develop for whatever the reason is. And so I took him to the pediatrician. She checked him out. Everything was perfectly normal. She said he had a clean bill of health and was doing very great health-wise. And so upon having a conversation with her about what was happening behaviorally and emotionally, it was recommended that we get a referral to look into some behavior therapy. In the meantime, behavior therapy hasn't started as of yet, but it was very emotional to have to continue to contend with the fact that my child doesn't fit in here at public, you know, in this public school setting. He's not behaviorally severe enough to go where children can get better assistance for autism. He's not cognitively low enough to get placed into a self-contained program or setting for autistic kids that are intellectually low. He's right in the middle. There is no program that fits his needs. And so I have made a decision to take it upon myself to be there to support my child. I have made it my business to look into placing him at a school. His dad and I have been talking about what is next, because what's happening is not working. And I am not saying in any way that I am not appreciative as to what the school has done. He's been at the same school since kindergarten, other than one semester during COVID where he wasn't at school online or in person. He was at an online type of thing. But when he came back, he'd been there ever since. And that was first grade. So from first grade through fourth grade, to have to always hear from teachers, be told he, you know, has done this today, or he didn't want to do that today, and he has to interact, and he has to do this, has to do that, when there are times where he actually verbalizes what's uncomfortable for him and he's made to do it anyway. I've had enough of that. And so he's not going to be returning to his current school. Once school ends, that's going to be it. And he's going to be somewhere that accommodates the fact that he needs an environment that caters to children with autism. What that's going to look like, I don't know. We have looked into a district program where his dad works. There are private schools around Houston that I've started making inquiries about. Private school means tuition, and it's not visible right now how this is going to happen, but I will do everything that I need to do to make sure that my child becomes happier and has a joy for learning and education, because the challenges that he has in school has brought anger and sadness out of him, and it's heartbreaking to witness. It's also heartbreaking and difficult to function, because we have to keep going, right? You know, I'm an adult. I am a one-income household. If I don't go to work, I can't get a check to pay my bills. And I can't do this, can't do that. You have to be strong. You have to, you know, maintain. And people are looking up to you. And, you know, it just is tough. And so I have declared that I am going to be reconstructing my life so that my baby can be okay and better serviced at a place that is good for him. I pray that my story sharing with you all is enlightening. If you know of a family or a child, your child, you are not sure, you notice that there's something that you maybe have a question about that doesn't seem typical developmentally, talk to your pediatrician. Reach out to someone that may be able to give you guidance, because there are resources out there that can help these kids become successful. Early intervention is best. They have early childhood intervention, ECI, for infants to age 2. Once they turn 3, after going through the process of the special education referral, evaluation, initial IEP meeting, with services being recommended if they meet eligibility, they are able to start school at age 3 and can get services at school. And so I just wanted to share my journey. I'm going to be documenting and talking to you all about what this is looking like. This is different for me, and it's in an unfamiliar place and an unfamiliar feeling to be here. But I look forward to what is to come because I know what he needs, and it's going to be my job and his dad's job to take care of our baby boy by all means necessary. So this is my journey. Happy Autism Awareness Month to all of those that are on the autism spectrum disorder. We light it up blue every single day, 365 days a year. And love, I have a special love for those with disabilities, particularly the one I gave birth to, my baby boy Jackson. Thank you for listening to the Do You Want to Be Made Whole podcast. If you know of a family that has a child or multiple children with autism, show them love this month. Show them grace, kindness. Keep them in your prayers and your thoughts. We live a very inconsistent life, full of fear, worry, so many mixed emotions. But we do know, I know, that our God is great, and there's nothing that I can't handle without his help and his love. I am super appreciative to my village for their support of our family on this journey with Jackson. Light it up blue for Autism Awareness Month. Show love, give love, be love.